It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning going to keep one downfield. Pass the defense is Cruz, who's got it at the 20. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 70 yards. Salsa time and Big D. Victor Cruz with another.
Play fake. Freeman back to throw. Under pressure. Heaves it downfield. Intercepted by Roll at the 5. Runs left to the 15. Cuts right back to the 20. Looking for a block up to the 30. And drag down there.
Manning takes the snap. Back to throw. Sidearms one left sideline. And it's caught for the touchdown by Reuben Randall.
Golzine takes the snap.
Pass intercepted as he threw it right. Picked off by a jumping Jason Pierre-Paul. And he runs it in for the touchdown. And finally, Carl, you can say you're down with JPP, a 28-yard TD.
Now, here's your host, Lance Meadow.
Along with Anita Marks this morning here on Giants.com. So glad you could join us for Wednesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live as we get you set for the beginning of training camp here at the Giants training facility. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Anita Marks, Lance Meadow here this morning with you for the next 60 minutes. A lot to certainly delve into as we start up day two of training camp. Just some quick injury notes before we delve into a variety of topics, and we will get to your phone calls, we'll get to your tweets throughout the course of the program. Jameel McClain, who obviously is filling in for John Beeson at that middle linebacker spot, left practice because of a foot injury. X-rays came back negative. There are reports that he may be undergoing further tests, but at least right now, the bright spot is it seems to be just a sore foot, and they've avoided anything seriously, Anita.
Yeah, Lance, you're absolutely right. X-rays came back negative. Fingers crossed that it's not anything serious. If he still has discomfort, there's reports that he's going to get an MRI done. Hopefully it doesn't escalate to that level. But beyond that, the fact that John Beeson is out right now. McClain was so important, his health and being able to step in at that Mike linebacker. We know what we get from Herzlick and Paysinger, and no knock on them, but you know, the communication level decreases when Herzlick is in at the linebacker position, and they were expecting big things from Beeson obviously this year, and McClain. So out of all the injuries and all those that went down yesterday, and a lot of them just had to do with the fact that it was so hot and humid and dehydration, all eyes on McClain right now because this defense really needs him, especially since Beeson doesn't look Beeson's going to start the season.
And regardless of whether or not McClain is healthy, everybody else is going to get their fair share of reps this season. We talked about this a great deal during the course of the offseason. Once Beeson went down, listen, it's opportunities for Devon Kennard. It's opportunities for Herzlick, as Anita just mentioned, that Herzlick was the first guy up in that middle spot when McClain went down. They utilized Jaquan Williams as well as Devon Kennard on the outside to start with McClain. Paysinger also got reps. We're going to see a variety of guys being shuffled in and out, and they need to do that, Anita. And it's similar to last offseason, if you recall. There were six linebackers in camp. Nobody knew who was going to start. It was pretty much open season. I don't think it's as open this year, but the outside jobs, assuming Beeson's not ready to go, I mean, everybody has ample opportunity to make a statement here.
Yeah, and as I said, you know, listen, Herzlick has been given the opportunity. Paysinger has been given the opportunity. And one thing that they really need to focus on and improve is their communication, especially at the Mike linebacker. If anybody out there, you know the game, you've played the game, you know how important communication is at that position because you are the coach's extension on the field. You're the guy wearing the headset the majority of the time. And that's, unfortunately, that's the one thing that Mark Herzlick lacks. And it's the one thing that McClain and as well as Beeson, if anybody, Beeson, brings to the table. So we'll see what happens. Again, fingers crossed that McClain, that this is nothing serious. As we said, X-rays came back negative. Unfortunately, all eyes to see how much soreness he has. If it continues to be too sore, he's going to go through for an MRI, and then hopefully, again, there's no ligament damage.
And better to rest him now than have him play through it, and then, God forbid, it lingers throughout the course of the preseason, something they certainly don't want to have to deal with, especially with John Beeson out. You also mentioned, Anita, that there were a few heat-related absences, excuses from camp. Most notably was Brandon Mosley on the offensive line. Now, Mosley is...
I think he had an upset stomach.
An upset stomach
me. Quote, unquote, upset stomach. Hey, we've all been there, okay?
Hey, heat has the effect on the body. We're no scientists. We're no doctors. Right. But there were a notable amount of people that certainly went to get water or had to go inside throughout the course of yesterday's practice. But Mosley, however you want to classify it, was the most notable one because when you look at the battles on the offensive line heading into the early stages of camp, right guard is probably the one position that jumps off the page because of Christie retiring. And Brandon Mosley was that first guy up. John Jerry is also going to be in the mix. And Weston Richburg, the second-round pick. So, you know, nobody's necessarily emerging after one day of practice, but this is going to be the specific position to watch as training camp progresses because it really is a full open competition here.
No, absolutely. And when you look at last season, and probably the most glaring negative is Eli Manning, 27 interceptions. If you go back and you look at the tapes, which I'm sure Paul Dottino has on every interception, you know, I don't think you can put the blame on Eli for all 27. You know, the offensive line, in my opinion, and I'm sure in a number of fans and analysts, their opinion, the line really did not perform to the way that they really needed to in order to protect Eli Manning for him to have the ample time in the pocket to make a good pass. So this was a focus coming in. I think Jerry Reese and the Giants did a great job going out, bringing in Jeff Schwartz and some free agents, looking at the players in the draft, drafting players who can help this offensive line. But another thing we got to talk about, Lance, is the fact that this is a new system. This is a new offense. And what I'm hearing is this is a dink and dunk offense. This is a quick offense. Eli's not going to have the ball for very long. He's going to be getting rid of the ball before that three-second mark. You're not going to see 5 and 7 step drops from Eli Manning sitting back there and waiting for plays to develop. And that helps the situation if you are going into a season, a game where your offensive line is not 100%. If that's the type of offense you're running, it takes less pressure on the offensive line. It takes less pressure. It takes pressure off of Eli Manning as well. I don't think we're going to see as many interceptions from Eli Manning. I don't think we'll see him sacked, rushed, hurried, hit down as often as we did last season.
And another wrinkle in the new offensive system, we were talking about this earlier in the week, is the running backs are now going to be more heavily involved in the passing game. And if you get rid of the football quicker, you get these guys out in open space, that should also take some pressure off of the offensive line. Two other notes regarding the offensive line. Will Beatty is limited, but he was back out there. He was alternating positions with Charles Brown at the left tackle spot, and that's another opportunity for him to prove that he's fully healthy and back in the mix. And John Jerry, who I mentioned a little bit earlier on the program, had his knee scoped in the offseason. He is also back via limited in terms of his role, but it is good to see the majority of these players who were sidelined during OTAs and minicamp at least back out there having an opportunity to solidify a role. So we will open up the phone lines as we get into numerous topics here over the course of the next 60 minutes. 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Let's start with Timothy in Jackson. Timothy, what's happening? Timothy, are you there?
Yes, yeah. I'm here.
What you got, Tim?
Following Chris Knee's retirement, will Brandon Mosley step up as the Giants starting right guard?
Well, appreciate the phone call, Timothy, and that's the biggest question surrounding the offensive line at this point. Who is going to solidify that role? Who's going to fill the void left behind by Chris Knee? And Need and I just mentioned about Brandon Mosley. The thing with Mosley is 2012 was his rookie campaign, but he didn't play. He was on IR the entire season. Last year, he was thrown into the mix. He wound up making a start against the Detroit Lions and broke his hand in that game and was sidelined for the rest of the season. So before you even talk about his strengths, he has to prove that he can stay healthy, Anita. That's priority number one.
I'm gonna throw a monkey wrench into this whole program. There was a time where there was some discussion of bringing Marcus Kuhn over from the defensive line onto the offensive line and trying to see how well he could play as an offensive guard. Don't be surprised if that doesn't happen at some point in time in camp this season. Keep an eye on that.
Well, I mean, you could also make the point.
I think he'd be an absolute beast. I think Marcus Kuhn would be absolutely fantastic at the guard position. I'm just a big Marcus Kuhn fan. So I don't know. I'm not saying that I'm sharing any information that I know. I just know it's something that's been discussed, and I wouldn't be surprised if maybe it's tried out.
Well, he looks like an absolute brick wall since he's come back, and he did play parts of last season. You can make the argument, and I understand where you're coming from, Anita. He, though, has imperative value on the defensive line this season, considering Linval Joseph is no longer here and Jonathan Hankins is young. I would go so far to say Marcus Kuhn has a legitimate shot of even starting at that defensive tackle spot, depending on how things play out.
Interesting.
So it really depends on the numbers game, I think, on the other side of the football. 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Let's check in with Anthony in Maryland. Anthony, welcome to the program. What you got?
How you doing, Lance, this morning? My first question for you is, at the beginning of the season, who do you think will be starting at right guard?
Well, I'm going to say it's Brandon Mosley, assuming he's healthy. I think Richburg has upside, but, you know, as I've talked about all offseason long, Anthony, I don't like it when the Giants play a game of musical chairs. So a guy goes out, and then we got to move the guard to the center and the left tackle to the right side. So I think if you could have Richburg be the starting center or the immediate backup to J.D. Walton, you avoid having to start him at guard, move him to center, and then obviously that makes things very complicated. So I'm going to go with Mosley as it stands right now.
I will agree with you, but that is something that the Giants, Jerry Reese, that they look at when they're drafting offensive linemen or offensive linemen that are so versatile that you can put them on either side of the line. They have experience playing center. They have, you know, I mean, obviously you have a different athletic makeup of a player, a tackle, as opposed to end. But nonetheless, you know, that's a plus here, is that you do, even though you're not big on the musical chairs, it's nice to have that ability, and Jerry Reese and this team draft accordingly so that they can do that, so they can play musical chairs. Not that they want to, but if they have to.
Well, having a player, which you're just alluding to, Anita, that can play multiple positions, you can't put a value on that.
Right,
look at
right.
Kevin Booth. And how Booth could play guard, he could play center. In a pinch, if you could throw somebody in the mix, I mean, that's going to bode very well for you long term. Got anything else, Anthony? All right, seems we have lost Anthony. All right, appreciate the phone call. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Hashtag Giants Chat. We'll get to some of your tweets as we move along here on the program. You can also follow and interact with us directly at Anita Marks and at Lance Meadow. Let's head back to the lines. We go to Jay in the Brick, I'm assuming. Brick Township, excuse me. Brick.
How's it going?
What's going on?
Hey, so my question's about the offense, and I appreciate you guys talking Giants. It's great to hear it, man. We're almost into football season. But my question's about the – yeah, I mean, well, August, you know, it's football. There's football on TV in August, so, I mean,
no,
you know, we're there.
Said,
I mean, we're there.
You said almost. We're here, baby.
We're here. No, you're right.
We're broadcasting for the Giants facility. They are working out. They are training. They are sweating. We are in it.
We're here. We're finally here after a long off season. The off season's miserable for me. I'm so happy football's here. Life is good again. So my question's about the offensive coordinator. What's this guy's name again? I'm sorry,
Ben,
I can't remember.
McAdoo.
Now listen, I like the Green Bay system. McCarthy's excellent, but is Eli really Aaron Rodgers? Let's be honest here. This is my one concern. Is McAdoo gonna be able to coach Eli up in the way that Aaron Rodgers moves? Because that guy's lightning fast. He's one of the best in the league. I love Eli. Got his two titles. He's great. But with all due respect, Eli is not Aaron Rodgers. I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that.
Well, you could have hit the nail harder on the head. I'll tell you, that's my biggest concern coming in, especially on the offensive side of the ball in this new offense. You know, no disrespect to Eli Manning. He's a phenomenal quarterback. But every quarterback has a style. And my biggest question mark is, does Eli Manning's style fit this offense? I don't think people realize just how athletic Aaron Rodgers is. He is probably one of the most athletic quarterbacks in the NFL. And unfortunately, I just, you know, Eli, obviously you have to have some type of athleticism to be one of the starting 32 quarterbacks in the NFL in the world. But apples and oranges, night and day, compared to what Aaron Rodgers could do. So I'm with you. This is my first day here at camp, but I followed all the beat reporters on Twitter yesterday, and one thing they were talking about is just how fast this offense moves. So I'm really excited to watch practice today. I'm really excited to see and digest how I know Eli came out yesterday, Lance. I'm sure you saw the quote, and he said that he's a little nervous trying to understand and grasp this offense and execute it properly. That's my biggest concern going in. And look, at the end of the day, only time will tell. And I think it's great that we have 5 preseason games this season as opposed to 4, Lance, considering it's a new offense. And one more preseason game for these guys to really get a grip and understand it. But that's what I'm looking at with this new offense. What about you?
Well, I think that having that extra preseason game is certainly going to help the team in the long run. Getting back to Jay's point regarding the concerns that Eli Manning is not Aaron Rodgers, and this gets back to the point that you brought up earlier in the program, Anita, if you're getting rid of the football quickly and your goal is to get short passes and get your receivers and running backs out in open space, you don't have to worry about whether or not Eli Manning is Aaron Rodgers. At the end of the day, you just need to worry about that the passes are on point and the quarterback and his receiving core is communicating well. So I think that it's blown out of proportion a little that Ben McAdoo came from the Green Bay system, and if the Giants don't have similar personnel to what Green Bay showcased, the Giants are going to be in trouble. Number one, Ben McAdoo is going to add new wrinkles. If you think this is going to be a repeat and a duplication of the Green Bay Packers system, you know, I think that's a little off base. In terms of Manning lacking the versatility of Aaron Rodgers, absolutely. But Eli Manning's always lacked the mobility factor, and that hasn't necessarily hurt the Giants over the course of the years. But I think moving forward, they're certainly going to have to make some tweaks based on his strengths and his weaknesses. But once again, if the whole core concept is get rid of the football quickly, it doesn't matter whether you're Aaron Rodgers, whether you're Eli Manning, whether you're Andy Dalton. Every quarterback can get rid of the football quickly the last time I checked.
Absolutely. But at the same time, if you know, you're looking to get rid of the football, if a player is covered, you need to create. You need to create for yourself. And again, you know, I don't want to sit here and sound like I'm bashing Eli. Eli's a great quarterback, but every quarterback has certain plus and minuses, different athletic ability than others. And one thing that Aaron Rodgers can do is if that quick three-step, you know, dink and dunk system, if nobody's open, Aaron Rodgers could scramble a lot better than Eli Manning can to create time and space for himself to wait and try to get somebody like Randall Cobb or Jermichael Finley open. I'm worried. I'm concerned that Eli Manning cannot. And so, but again, I mean, listen, this is an offense that we are not familiar with. So, you know, I could be sitting here and worrying much ado about nothing. I mean, this offense very well can suit. And as you said, Lance, you're right. I mean, you know, is this going to be the exact replica, duplicate of the Green Bay Packers offense? Probably not. I'm sure Eli has had a lot of say in regard to, we call them bread and butter plays. Bread and butter plays that have done, that have really bode well for Eli Manning and his style of play. Is Ben McAdoo an offensive coordinator who's open-minded enough to say, okay, Eli, let's integrate this. Let's change this up. Let's add this to our game plan. That very well could be happening as well. We just don't know.
Well, time will tell. I think from what we've seen during the course of OTAs and minicamps, all of the principles and concepts that we've thrown out on the show are accurate. With Eli Manning and your concerns, Anita, I think that also gets back to the offensive line. You know, regardless of whether or not Eli Manning has a great deal of mobility, if your offensive line drastically improves from last season, then he should be able to have additional time just because of the protection, regardless of what the offensive system calls for. So I think that's obviously another important principle moving forward. 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Let's go to Kiwan in Patterson. Kiwan, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, Lance? How you guys doing?
Doing well, Kiwan. What you got?
Pretty good. I just want to know, first of all, how are they looking? I know it's early. They started the 19th, right?
In terms of what, training camp?
Yeah, did they report or?
Well, they reported on Monday, and the first practice was yesterday.
Okay, so the first practice, so I can't really, I'm still going to ask it. How did they look yesterday, and when did Chris Snee retire? I didn't know that.
Chris Snee made his formal announcement on Monday. In terms of how they looked at the first practice, I mean, there's only so much you can read into it, and Tom Coughlin even said after practice there was some good, there was some bad. It's the first practice. I think the most promising thing out of yesterday's practice, if I was to hone in on one area, Kiwan, is David Wilson and the fact that he got back out on the field. He looked really good. He was energetic. Just having him out there is a huge step in the right direction for the sake of
the team. Yeah, it really is. It really is. I'm glad to hear that. And one more thing, I just want to touch the subject of, I think, Anthony, the last caller. He said, not Anthony, it was the last caller. He said, Eli Manning wasn't Aaron Rodgers, and I agree with you. You know, Eli, he doesn't have to be Aaron Rodgers because, you know, if anybody can get the ball out fast. You see his brother, Peyton, he gets the ball out fast, and he's no mobility at all. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like that's a great thing. I feel like the offense is going to be awesome this year. I feel like Eli won't have no problems.
Well, I think that a new offense is great for the entire team, Kiwan, because it just re-energizes everybody. And, you know, they've got something fresh. They got to get back into the playbook and start memorizing and studying. Not that they weren't doing that in the past, but anytime you bring in something new, I think it's good for the veterans and the rookies because, you know, it's something to embrace. It's something to get overly excited about because you never delved into it before.
Right. Well, that's all I have. I'm excited, man. I can't wait till the season start. Well, season started, like you guys said. Just can't wait for the first game against Detroit to see, you know, how they'll do. And,
well, obviously, everybody around here is excited as well. We got a while till we get to that September game, but appreciate the phone call, Kiwan. I think priority number one is getting through that August 3rd Hall of Fame game against the Buffalo Bills. As Anita mentioned, they have five preseason games, and it's hard to believe that August 3rd is a week from this weekend. And the Giants are already going to get out there, line up against an opponent. It's amazing how quickly things go. 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Let's go to Nugs in, what is that, Minnesota, it looks like? Okay, making sure that I can read the chicken scratch. Nugs, what's happening?
What's going on, man? I'll call in for like 2 months and you forget about me. Okay, I got you.
Well, you know, I wasn't sure about the name. I wanted to make sure I knew the name before I necessarily correlated with callers of the past. So what's happening?
No, that's all good. Not much, man. I just wanted to ask you what you think about our brittle linebackers, man. It seems like every camp our Achilles heel, you know, starts to crop up a little bit early, and we can already see where teams are going to attack us on defense. It's like, okay, we give Beeson this money. Why couldn't he get hurt last year? So we knew this was what he's going to do. You know, it's like we give Beeson his contract, he gets hurt. We already know those foot problems in Ahmad Bradshaw, you know what I mean? And then they move McClain in there. He immediately gets hurt, and it's just like, well, you know, we addressed our secondary, but now teams might not even have to throw on us because, you know, we're gonna have hurt linebackers all year, I feel, and they're just going to pound us. You know what I'm saying? So that's
we just lost our caller.
Well, he was asking about the linebacker situation, and sorry about the technical difficulties here this morning. We're working on that. Hopefully, we'll have everybody up and running shortly in terms of the future callers. But he was talking about Nugs, the linebackers, and concerned about how this group has really been injury-plagued over the course of not just this season but the last few years. And I'm looking at some comments on Twitter, and you know, people are already saying Jameel McClain should not play the rest of the preseason, the rest of training camp. You know, once again, so far positive in terms of x-rays being negative and it's just a sore foot, and the Giants are not necessarily going to rush him back and throw him out there. But remember, chemistry is important in this group. So I understand you want to preserve these guys during the course of training camp and practices, but that doesn't mean that you just sit him on the side and you wait for him to get ready for week one. These guys who haven't necessarily played with one another over the course of a huge resume and a huge sample size, they got to get out on the field and they've got to work out all of these kinks here, Anita.
I totally agree with you. You know, I think Giants fans, I understand that you've got some concerns in regard to health issues, but I actually, John Beeson's injury is his sesamoid bones. I actually shattered my sesamoid bones in my right foot, and so I'm very familiar with sesamoid bones and sesamoid bone injuries, and it's huge that John Beeson didn't have surgery. The option would have been inserting screws into those bones, and that is a procedure that ended, if you remember, O.J. McDuffie, wide receiver from Penn State, went to the Miami Dolphins. It ended his career in having to do that. So there's some optimism there in regard to John Beeson. I think Giants fans should feel confident that John Beeson is going to be healthy and come back. Now, does he start the season on the pup? Do we not see him for the first 6 weeks? That only time will tell. I don't know. But the good thing here is that he didn't have surgery, and he's going to be available at some point in time in the season. Hopefully this McLean injury from yesterday, it's not serious. As we said earlier, x-rays came back negative. Hopefully he's not too sore. If he is, he's going to have an MRI. Hopefully that won't come – that if he does have an MRI, the results won't be negative as well. But Giants fans should be this is, in my opinion, this is the most talent I've seen on a Giants linebacking corps since I've been here. And I'm going on my fifth year in covering this team. So I understand the concerns because of the injuries, but it's early. I think McLean and Beeson are going to be ready to go, hopefully, by week one. If not by week one, both on the field, starting at the linebacker position by week six or week seven. And I think Giants fans need to be excited about that, because this is the most talent I've seen on this linebacking corps in 5 years.
Speaking of John Beeson, Tom Coughlin actually addressed John Beeson's recovery yesterday, and his exact quote was, if John Beeson has a tender foot, he's doing a good job covering it up. So he's been extremely optimistic, Tom Coughlin, and how Beeson's been moving around. So I think that's a positive sign. And Tom Coughlin's not one to give the most detailed updates about injuries. So if he's saying that about John Beeson, once again, I'm not trying to get everybody's hopes up on this program, but I think all signs are pointing in the direction that he should be ready to go in week number one. In terms of Anita's point that this is the most promising group that we've seen in the last few years, I think if you go by name and resume, I would wholeheartedly agree with you, Anita, but I'm just a little cautiously optimistic only because names and resumes only do so much. It's all about what you do and what translates onto the football field. But the fact that Jaquan Williams has more experience coming into the season, Spencer Paysinger has more experience coming into the season, you know what Beeson and McLean have done in their previous stops, and you bring in a player like Devon Kennard, who is a rookie but is versatile. He's played on the line. He's played in the linebacker unit. You know, I think when you take all those factors together, it's not a stretch to say, compared to the previous rosters, this is a group with a tremendous amount of upside. I don't think that's a stretch of the imagination by any means. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Hashtag Giants Chat, at Lance Meadow, at Anita Marks on Twitter. Let's head back to the lines. We got Christian in North Carolina. Let's go to Len from Maryland first. Len, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing, Lance?
Doing well, Len. How's everything with you?
Good, good. And how's Anita doing?
I'm great. Great to hear your voice.
Yeah, I'm glad you're back, Anita. It's going to be a terrific season. I just have that feeling. Listen, first off, big thank you to Chris Snee. Hard to believe 10 years went by, and also hard to believe that these guys barely last 10 years these days. But Chris was a great one, and certainly I got him on my top three list offensive linemen ever to put the uniform on. And someday, hopefully, I'm going to keep my fingers crossed. Someday, hopefully, he's, we all get to go to Canton on that happy day that Chris gets into the Hall of Fame. But only time will tell with that. But, again, thanks, Chris. Great career. You guys are out there at the 2014 training camp presented by Toyota at the Quest Diagnostic Center on the grounds of MetLife Stadium. For 30 years, I entered gate C to get into the stadium, and now I go in through the Verizon gate. I tell you, marketing has had its impact. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know, just for the heck of it, I counted up. You know, the Giants have more people in communications and marketing listed on the website than they do coaches. We've got 20 coaches. We've got more guys in marketing and communication. Just a fact. I'm not complaining, or I'm not saying that's good or bad. It's just where we are on the business side of football, I guess. With the 20 coaches, that's about 20 coaches. Sounds like a lot, but that's about average. Counting Tom, it's 20 with Tom. I think the Eagles have 24, and the Patriots have only 15. Three or four of whom are simply listed as assistants, including Bill Belichick's son. It's kind of interesting how these guys, take care of their families, and that's okay. That's okay. I hope he has a long career too. On the injury front, you almost wish some of the we had more strength and conditioning coaches. I know we're up to three with strength and conditioning coaches now, and I think this last fellow, Lance, is more of a performance guy and help these guys be available from, in the fourth period next week toward the end of the season. And that seems to be the direction that these guys are going with their strength and conditioning programs. How do we keep these guys on the field? With only 53 guys, and the Giants aren't alone in the injuries.
Well, heat-related excuses, though, I don't really think has much to do with strength and conditioning. A guy cramps up here or there. That happens across the NFL landscape. And in terms of Jameel McClain, it's unfortunate that it happened on day one. I think sometimes when we're looking at the strength and conditioning coaching staff, we're just trying to reach here as to explain why guys are getting hurt on day number one. But, let's see how training camp plays out. I don't necessarily think it's an indication that it's going to be a trend moving forward.
Well, Lance, let me just try to make a case for the fact that, and it's not just the Giants. I think this is true around the league. This game is it's a tough game. It's a brutal game. It's a collision on every play. I'm not telling you guys anything new or any of the other listeners anything new. The point being is, the attrition rate, I started with Chris. How many guys last 10 years? You got to be a quarterback, a long snapper, or a kicker. Nobody lasts 10 years anymore. The game is brutal. How do we keep these guys on the field? I think these teams are all asking the same question and moving toward, sports science. How do we, what causes, a combination of strength building, conditioning programs, nutrition, better equipment, field maintenance. The NFL has got to figure out, something over the next 5 to 7 to 8 years, especially if they think they're going to eliminate 2 preseason games and go to 18 regular season games, plus more playoff teams. You're going to need 65-man rosters.
Well, I would assume, Len, that in the event they do expand the schedule, they're going to have to expand the rosters because the players would probably argue at the negotiating table that they'd want more opportunities and jobs. So I think those coincide with one another.
Well, I think the league's at a critical point, Lance and Anita. I think the league's at a critical point with this injury thing. I don't know what to say. We're going to get 20 people are going to cough today on that field, and you guys are going to tweet, not you, but the beat writers. We'll have 20 people tweeting about this and people being carted off the field and things of this nature. I don't think we can just continue to say. I think the league's got to study this as to why these things are happening, especially if they begin to happen to the stars. Starters, it's bad enough, but you can't have your stars carted off the field. I'm frustrated by this whole injury thing and the direction in which it's going. And I think the league has got to figure out, where's the $6 million man, Lance? Maybe we need a few of those guys, or Chuck Bednarik. We need another good 60-minute man, Chuck Bednarik from the Eagles in the late 50s and the early 60s.
Lynn, just to interject here. A lot of this, the collective bargaining agreement, and really what the players fought for, and I was listening to Boomer and Carton on my way in today. They were broadcasting here from the facility this morning. And Tom Coughlin and Boomer, who are obviously more old-school football players, are talking about how, really, because of the collective bargaining agreement, training camp isn't what it used to be.
Oh, absolutely.
Be careful what you wish for. I really feel, and I could be wrong, but this is just my opinion, is that the lack of preparation that these players go through during training camp, because it's not what it used to be. It's no longer two-a-days.
But the trend, Anita.
I think a study needs to be done in regard to because the way that they are not preparing for the regular season, I think hurts them, and we see more injuries because I don't think that they're ready for the season.
Well, look what they did. Look what they did in the state of California yesterday with football at the high school level. Limiting the length of practices, limiting how many practices you can hit. The trend is to try to keep these guys on the field, keep these kids on the field. you know, safety issue, yes. Okay? But I think we're going to see more and more. I'll tell you what, Anita, I side with the players on this. I think the players were right. We can sit here and complain about the fact that, you know, it's not enough time. Thank God we got an extra week this year. You know, those sorts of things. Hey, the players and their representatives are starting to say, this is just, it's getting to a point now where you got to wonder what the heck's coming next. Now, I'm the first guy to say I want the Giants to win those collisions. My mantra for this year, Anita, just so you know, on the first day you're back, my mantra for this year, I want to win the fourth quarter collisions. I want our offense in the fourth quarter to dominate the defense. And I want upcoming defensive coaches to know, when you play the Giants this year, when you get to the fourth quarter, you better be in darn good shape because they're going to dominate. I want the offense dominated in the fourth.
A lot of that is conditioning. A lot of that is conditioning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hey, listen, I don't mean to be a downer. It's going to be a great year, Anita. Glad you're back. It's going to be lots of fun. Lance, thanks for taking the call, and most importantly, thanks for tolerating me here for about 5 minutes.
You got it, Len. Appreciate
it.
The phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. The other thing I wanted to add to what Len was pointing out to was, you know, when you take into consideration it's the first day of practice and a lot of these guys were out working out on their own, and I'm not making excuses for them, but sometimes you're really playing catch-up with practice number one. Were these guys working out on their own diligently as they would have if they would have been under the supervision of the coaching staff here? So, you know, some of the injuries I think are pointed in that direction as opposed to, you know, the Giants not overseeing them correctly. That's why I think that it's a unique circumstance on day one. I don't think it's a sign that it's a trend of what's yet to come. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Let's head back to the lines. Frank is in Tampa. Frank, what's happening?
Good morning. Good morning, Lance. Good morning, Anita. I just wanted to make an observation a little bit about what you folks were talking about earlier, if you'll indulge me for a minute or two. And, you know, I know I hear and I have heard about, you know, they're trying to adjust the system to fit the players, you know, rather than the other way around, which sounds all good to me until I get to Eli. And, you know, you folks were talking about Rodgers a little earlier, and, you know, Rodgers has a unique set of abilities. I mean, he's an absolute pinpoint passer. You know, he's got amazing accuracy into tight coverage, especially on short passes. He throws from many, many angles. You know, he's great on the sprint out. I mean, Eli, when God bless him, and I love him, and he's given us two championships, but he attempts to do that. It looks more like a jog out. And when you see the slightest disruption of his mechanics, you know, are often fatal. And, you know, Rodgers basically thrives on that, whether it's planned or unplanned. And I don't see how this system, you know, is going to fit his skills. And, you know, Eli may be a dinosaur, but, you know, the asteroid hasn't quite hit yet. And to me, sometimes I think maybe it was better to try to squeeze out a few more years with a good offensive line like we did in 07 and 11, you know, that cater to his skills, rather than I see what this system demands, and I don't see anything that Eli does well that fits into that system. And even as far as Cruz is concerned, and I hope I'm wrong, but, you know, I believe that, you know, Victor does not have the greatest skills when you look at him in a vacuum. You know, his speed, his hands, his leaping ability. But what he does have is just an absolutely unique ability to recognize and adjust on the fly. And in combination with Eli's ability to do that, you really had something special. And, you know, I hope this isn't the case, but I'm a little bit afraid that if you tell Cruz to run down and make a left, that he's not going to be the player that he's, you know, that he could be under that system. So, you know, I look at what that West Coast offense demands. I don't see one skill that Eli possesses the whole system just seems anathema to his skills. And I hope I'm wrong, but I look at Rodgers and I look at him, and there can be two guys absolutely more different in their abilities, and I think the system fits Rodgers, and I don't think it fits Eli, and I hope I'm wrong, but I don't know what you guys thought.
Yeah, I mean, it was something we talked about a little bit earlier with another caller. That's probably my biggest concern. You could say, well, what about the offensive line? Yes, but is how Eli Manning is going to be able to execute this system, and you hit on a number of very valid points in regard to comparing Eli Manning to Aaron Rodgers. Just two totally different styles of quarterback. But, you know, let's talk about Ben McAdoo. I mean, this is his opportunity to really make a name for himself in the NFL. You know, there are a number of different coaches' philosophies, and that is you look at the talent you have around you, and then you build an offense based on that talent to accentuate that talent. And then there's another philosophy where this is my system, this is how we're going to do it, and I'm going to teach you how to, I'm going to implement it, and I'm going to teach you how to do it, and gosh darn it, you better perform it. So, you know, I'm hoping that McAdoo sees something in Eli Manning where he doesn't have the concerns that I do or a number of the callers do or a number of the fans do. I'm not so worried, Lance, about the wide receiving core because the Victor Cruzes and the Odell Beckham Juniors and the Jernigans, these guys fit the system. This system is all about the yards after the catch. If Eli just gets the ball in these playmakers' hands, sky's the limit for them. So this offense actually benefits the Cruzes in those guys. Not so worried about the wide receiving core. I'm really not.
Excuse me, Lornita. But if you look at the offense that that Green Bay runs, you know, it's not just drop two steps quick like Peyton Manning and throw the ball. Rodgers throws from so many angles, you know, for not only his body, but on the sprint out, et cetera. He moves the pocket, all those things that Eli can't do. So to me, it's going to be a version of that, more like Peyton's, where he just steps back and throws the ball. But we know that Eli is not a pinpoint passer when it comes to those things. And if you disrupt his
Looks like we may have lost Frank here. And this is something that we were talking about earlier in the program, the whole debate of Eli Manning versus Aaron Rodgers. And I think there's a bit of an overreaction. I'm not saying Frank was overreacting, but I think we're really sticking to too much of a comparison between both of the quarterbacks and seeing what Aaron did with the Packers. Alex Smith ran a West Coast offense, and Alex Smith is mobile. He's not nearly as mobile and talented as Aaron Rodgers, and there has been a great deal of success with Alex Smith running a system
Alex
like
Smith's
that.
Alex Smith's nickname at Utah was White Chocolate. I mean, Alex Smith is, people don't understand, Alex Smith is probably one of the most athletic quarterbacks in the NFL. Alex Smith is 10 times more athletic than Eli Manning.
But he doesn't have as strong of an arm as Aaron Rodgers. So,
no.
I mean, there's things that you can differentiate between Aaron Rodgers and Alex Smith versus Eli Manning. I think when you look at this system, it comes down to the talent around the quarterback more so than the quarterback. I think we're placing too much emphasis on the quarterback. The running backs, to me, if they're in the right position to catch passes and it's 5 yards away from Eli Manning, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to play quarterback in that system. Victor Cruz runs a good slant route. You get him out in open space, he'll be able to do the rest of the work. So as long as the guys around Eli Manning are in the right spots and the communication is key, I think this system can click. Am I telling you that they're going to score 49 points a game? No. I mean, that would be ludicrous and ridiculous to say, considering we haven't seen one game. But I think it's more focused on the guys around Eli Manning than what Eli Manning is going to bring to the table between his mobility or lack thereof.
What about the tight end position? Are you concerned? I mean, one thing that you did see Aaron Rodgers work with, Jermichael Finley, a healthy Jermichael Finley. I'm looking at the tight end position here. I'll be honest, Lance, I don't think the starting tight end come regular season game one is on this roster yet.
Well, I mean, they could very well pick up somebody off the waiver wire. That remains to be seen. We don't know how prominent a role the tight end is going to play in this system. During OTAs and minicamp, they were involved, but, you know, you can only read into that so much. I brought this point up on Monday, and I'll continue to say it. If you look at the Green Bay Packers system once again, and everybody yells Jermichael Finley this, Jermichael Finley that, and he played a prominent role in the Green Bay offense, but Jermichael Finley wasn't Jermichael Finley when he first arrived in Green Bay. He was honed. His craft was tweaked as he developed over the years. Who's to say that they can't necessarily do that with a tight end that's currently in camp? And that's what I'm going to hold true to until I see anything different. Adrian Robinson has slimmed down. He's animated. He's excited. You can only read into that so much, but this could be his breakout year. Remember, he has yet to stay healthy. Forget a season, Anita. I'm talking about give me a 3-week stretch when Adrian Robinson has gone into every practice and has remained healthy. Okay, that would be a step in the right direction. And a number of the other veterans who are in the mix are not known as pass catchers, but, you know, at least they've answered the call with respect to durability. McAdoo has worked with tight ends in his past. I think that they need time to get the most out of these players. That's what training camp is all about. Right now, it's easy to say nobody's going to blossom. Nobody's going to shine. 3-4 weeks from now, we may see a guy make a name for himself during the course of the preseason.
And that would be great. And that's what makes training camp in preseason so fantastic. And as we touched on earlier, I think it's more of a blessing than a curse that the Giants have 5 preseason games instead of 4, especially so many question marks. And this is a team that's, you know, Eli even said yesterday, not only did he say he was nervous about getting a grasp of this offense and learning to execute it, he feels like a rookie. So if that's the case, you know, the more preseason games, the better. And at least for me, all eyes on that tight end position. I'd love to see, you know, Adrian, I'd love to see a tight end really step up, make some noise, and win this position battle hands down. Like, wow, what a great season. So,
and as has been speculated in some of the routes and some of the plays, the tight end is target number one. If that turns out to be the case, clearly they need a reliable weapon. But right now it's the game of speculation. We could sit here every day and say the tight ends, nobody's promising. But, you know, a week and a half, 2 weeks from now, we may be saying something completely different. I think really time and patience is the big thing to preach at this point. Let's try to squeeze in a few more callers here before we wrap things up. 201-939-4513 alongside Anita Marks. I'm Lance Meadow. Good to have you aboard here this morning on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Ben is in New York. Ben, welcome to the program. What you got?
Yeah, I was wondering, what players, free agent rookies and veterans, that look like they're going to make the team? And well, also, what players so far in training have been, you know, good, have been adapting to the offensive philosophy and the defensive philosophies that have stepped up, and also which ones need to improve?
Well, I would say everybody needs to improve, and I know that's the boring answer, but considering they've only had one practice in training camp, to say that anybody is at the stage where they want to be is extremely premature. So that takes care of your third question. In terms of the first point that you brought up, Ben, what undrafted free agents or rookies have a good shot at making the team? I think Devon Kennard jumps off the page, their fifth-round pick out of USC, who's played linebacker and defensive end. It's all about a numbers game, and the fact that Beeson is down, you would assume that they're going to try to keep some extra depth at that position. I would turn to a guy like Kelsey Quarles as an undrafted rookie. The defensive tackle out of South Carolina has a good track record based on his college days, had 9.5 sacks last season, outplayed Jadeveon Clowney. He could make a name for himself, especially with now Linval Joseph out of the mix. So, you know, those are two names that I would point out in particular in the early going that I think have a chance when they narrow down the 53-man roster that you should certainly keep close tabs on. In terms of who's looked good thus far with respect to the offense, Rashad Jennings, I'm going based on OTAs and minicamp. Remember, training camp just started. He's looked really good during the course of OTAs and minicamp. And I can't emphasize enough the fact that the running backs are going to be heavily involved in the passing game. And Jennings has really thrived in that role. Another player on defense that jumped out to me during OTAs and minicamp, and I'm very interested to see his progression during the course of training camp, is corner Zach Bowman, who came over from Chicago. He's made a real big name for himself, and we know there's a great deal of depth at that position. There's going to be some intense battles throughout the entire course of training camp there.
Yeah, I'm really excited about the backfield. I mean, going into the offseason, there were big concerns because we didn't know how healthy was David Wilson going to be. Was he going to be cleared? Were the Giants going to be able to utilize him this coming season? I like bringing in Rashad Jennings. I think Rashad Jennings will be the Giants' starting running back, regular season game one. And no one's really talking about Andre Williams.
I got one more question.
Sure.
Yeah, I just want to mention, now, if we have a lot of depth, say like a cornerback, and we're looking for a tight end, maybe down the line, you know, when we get situated with our players, if we got a lot of quality depth at certain positions, maybe we could trade maybe for a veteran offensive left tackle or for a decent tight end. How does that look to you?
Well, Ben, you have veteran left tackles on the roster right now, so I think you need to specify the definition. Charles Brown is a veteran. Will Beatty's a veteran. So, I mean, if you just want a veteran, I think they're on the roster right now.
No, no, what I'm saying is that somebody who might be more proven, you know, that showed that they are capable of playing at a better level.
Well, most teams don't have a great deal of depth at left tackle. Most teams don't have multiple guys that fit your criteria, so I would doubt that the Giants would have any team that they could pull off a trade. Nobody is shipping out their spare left tackle because of the injury rate in the NFL. It's very difficult. I mean, you saw last year, I think Eugene Monroe was traded, but that was right near the deadline, and that was mainly because he was worn down to a certain degree. Outside of that, you don't see a lot of guys that are shipped out of town at that position. And in terms of a tight end, it's the same thing. If you're a team that has a prolific tight end, yeah, you maybe will part ways with your backup, but you're not giving up that heavy playmaker, especially for a fourth or fifth backup cornerback at this point. I hope that answered your question, Ben. All right.
No, you did good there. Okay. I appreciate you answering my questions there.
Not a problem.
And I enjoy you and Anita Marks. You're both great.
Well, thanks so much, Ben. Really appreciate having you on the program. Anita, I know you were alluding to something before Ben asked that other question. I don't know if you wanted to finish that up before we get back to some more calls.
No, I just, you know, he was talking about, you know, veteran players that we're expecting big things from this season. And, you know, keep in mind, Rashad Jennings had to really kind of share the load with Darren McFadden in Oakland.
For about two games, until he got hurt.
Yeah, but, you know, it was really Darren McFadden's backfield, you know, coming in, even though, yeah, David Wilson was on this roster prior. I think Rashad Jennings is coming in and kind of looking like a new lease on life. This is an opportunity for me to really become a starting running back for a certain team in an organization. And I think you're going to see it happen. So I'm expecting big things from Rashad Jennings this year. I think he's really going to be fantastic. Then you add the compliment of a healthy David Wilson, fingers crossed that everything goes well for him and his neck and his back. He has no more lingering issues from that. But keep your eye on Andre Williams as well. I mean, you know, this is a young man who, coming out of Boston College, could have won the Heisman Trophy if it wasn't for Jameis Winston and a number of other very spectacular college players last year. I think he was an absolute steal for Jerry Reese and the Giants. And so I'm really excited for this backfield. I think the Giants' backfield is going to be extremely solid, more solid, healthier, more explosive, big playmaking ability, more so than we've seen in years past.
Let's head back to the lines, 201-939-4513. Shane is in New York. Shane, welcome to the program. What you got?
Hey, how are you? I was just, like, listening. To be honest with you, I'm completely on the other side of this whole new offense thing from a lot of the callers. I'm, like, pumped for it. I think it's going to be a great thing. I think it's going to be comparable to, like, when they brought Steve Spagnuolo over, more or less unproven. Like, after week three, that Redskins game, everything turned around. And as far as I'm concerned, I feel like Steve Spagnuolo would still be welcome back. I'm glad that they took a chance on Ben McAdoo. Like, I don't necessarily think that he's going to implement the same exact system that they run in Green Bay. And, like, kind of to dispel some of the naysayers, I look at it as, like, Tom Brady is not one of the most mobile quarterbacks in the NFL. Yet he runs one of the more prolific offenses. I don't see why, like, Eli's lack of mobility is really going to be the biggest factor. If you're going to, like, just tweak it here and there, maybe not as much rollout, et cetera, but, like, overall, I think all the offseason moves were, like, top shelf. I think, like, and Kevin Gilbride, you love the guy, two Super Bowls, can't ever overlook that, but, like, in my opinion, and, like I said, I'm just a fan, not my opinion really carries much water. It was getting a little stale for me. Felt like it was always run, run, pass, run, run, shotgun, draw. Felt like you'd kind of call the plays from the couch when you were watching on Sundays. I think once this thing gets going and everything really is in place, Giant fans are going to love it. I feel like it's going to be great for all the receivers involved. I feel like it's going to be great for the backfield. It's going to be maybe even utilize David Wilson's skill set better. And, like, I totally agree with the need about Rashad Jennings. I think it's going to turn out to be one of the best offseason acquisitions league-wide. So that was kind of like what I think of that, just because I heard so many other people talking about it. What I was really calling about was, is there any, like, update on this McLean foot thing? Is this, like, something that people need to be concerned about, or is it just, like, was it just a cleat irritating the guy's foot and more or less he should be okay.
Well, the latest is that x-rays were negative. There are reports that he may undergo further tests. The Giants haven't released any intel from that regard, but they're classifying it at this point as a sore foot. So I would say the level of concern is not very high. Could he miss a few days of practice? Absolutely. I think that they're going to be cautious, but long-term injury, I wouldn't necessarily go there at this point.
Okay, cool. That's all I really have to say. I mean, I think the offense is going to be great, man. I really think it's going to take off.
Well, I think it's going to take some time during training camp and the preseason, Shane, and appreciate the phone call, but I would agree with you. I think that over time, they've got a lot of exciting weapons around Eli Manning that, as I get back to the fact, if these guys are in the right spots and Manning's communication is on key, you know, this group can certainly thrive. So that is something to keep close tabs on. Want to try to squeeze in a few more callers here before we wrap up the program. We go to Charlie in Maine, who I will go out on a limb and say is not as upbeat as Shane in New York. Charlie, what's happening?
Welcome to the Beauty and the Beast. How
there we go.
Doing?
Well said. So let's hear what the Beast has to say. Oh, we absolutely know. We don't need a brain surgeon to figure this one out.
All right. Well, no, I'm just concerned about the linebacking core, especially now that McClain's foot, you know, that could linger. Who knows? But don't you think we need a veteran? We need another veteran middle linebacker that can come in and at least bring him into camp. There's a couple of guys out there, Desmond Bishop, the Vikings. He had some injury problems, but he's kind of over them. He'd be a really high upside if he turns out that he's, you know, healthy now. There's another guy from Minnesota, Aaron Henderson. He had a little problems with DUIs, but hopefully he's over that. And then there's Jonathan Vilma. I just think we need another veteran there because with Beeson out, we're not sure if he's going to be back the first week. He might be, but he might not be himself as of yet. And if this McClain injury hangs on, and also he's got neck fusion. You don't know what's going to happen with that. So just to rely on, the rookie there from USC.
Devon Kennard.
Kennard. Or Herzlick, I think we should definitely go with another veteran, at least bring somebody in. What do you think?
Well, but here's the thing. Don't you believe that now is an opportunity for these young guys and maybe some of these vets who haven't embraced their roles to get extra reps? Why take away those reps from that group? That's the question I have for you, Charlie. For example, if you could get Kennard 10 times as many reps now that these guys are out, isn't that a good sign for his development as a young player that you could build around, not just this season, but moving forward? You bring in a vet, all that's going to do is it's going to stunt the growth of your young nucleus.
Yeah, but do you want a rookie calling signals in the middle of the defense? I don't. We need a veteran there. I mean, it's fine. You can still give the guy reps. You don't have to give the vet as many reps because he's a vet. He knows what he's doing as long as, you know, he can understand the defense, but I'm pretty sure he can understand Fuel's defense. And at least you're going to have somebody who is a veteran, who can call plays, who has some intensity, who has been in the big games. I'll be totally uncomfortable if we have a rookie linebacker starting in the middle.
Well,
that would be a disaster.
Charlie, and I understand the concern. You know, whenever you have a young, unproven guy, there should be some questions. But when you say that you're worried also about him calling the plays, there's no rule in the playbook that says the middle linebacker has to call the plays. I mean, there's been outside linebackers. There's even been some members of the secondary who have been calling the plays for the defense. So I don't think just because Kennard is in the middle means he has to call the plays.
Right. So who are you going to have call? Williams? A Paysinger?
Well, they have some veteran experience compared to the others.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. That's pretty iffy to me. I think, you know, they should bring in somebody. They should bring in a veteran. They should bring in two veterans, especially if McClain's injury is going to linger for a while. They need to bring some people in. There's some good linebackers out there.
Well, the two that you named, Charlie, not to cut you off, keep in mind, you named two, and everybody that you named had a caveat next to it. You know, this guy untied his shoelaces the wrong way. This guy has a back injury. So, listen, we could sit here and break down the entire free agent market at the linebacker spot, and I guarantee you, although the names are promising, you're going to find an exception to every one of them. So keep that in mind. You know, I'd rather have a healthy body to start day one.
Oh, I agree. I'm just saying at least they should look and see and bring somebody in and try them out and see how they, you know, if they're totally injured, then fine. You don't bring them on the team. But, I mean, hopefully they're looking. You know, all I know is, like, Reese doesn't value the linebacker position very much. That's why, you know, we're kind of been lacking there until Beeson came along. But, I mean, we're going to be lacking there again if we're not proactive. That's all I'm saying. We need to be proactive in that area. So anyway, thanks for the call. Let me speak. And Anita, it's good to have you back, and we'll talk to you both soon.
Thank you so much.
Sounds good, Charlie. Appreciate the phone call. 201-939-4513. And the tone of the conversation, or how aggressive the Giants front office looks for free agent linebackers, could change depending on how long McClain is out and moving forward. But right now, we're at the stage where it looks like McClain's injury is not serious. Beeson's making progress. So, you know, they're looking at the medical records. I agree with Charlie. If McClain's going to miss 2 weeks and Beeson, you know, is not going to definitely be back for any point of training camp, yes, there would be somewhat of an urgency to bring in another body. But right now, I wouldn't necessarily wave the red flag and set off the alarm.
See, I don't think so. I think they roll with Herzlick and Paysinger, and they keep their fingers crossed, and they hope they get Beeson and McClain back as quickly as possible. Again, good news for McClain folks out there listening. X-rays came back negative. Hopefully, he's not feeling a lot of soreness. If he is, he will have – I think he should have an MRI anyway just to make sure that there's no tendon or ligament damage. You know, but there's optimism here, and there's an expectation that both these guys will be ready to roll, hopefully regular season game one. If not, then both of them ready to go game six or seven.
All right, let's take our final call of the program, 201-939-4513. We go to Steve in D.C. Steve, what's happening?
Hey, man, thanks for taking my call, guys. Sorry to be clean up because I really didn't have a bunch of questions today, but I do appreciate you taking my call. First of all, I want to say I do agree with Nita's approach that, you know, at this point, I just don't really want to see a bunch of wholesale moves at the linebacker position until we really have a good grip on how long these guys, Beeson and McClain, are going to be out. There's just nobody that, you know, Charlie, you know, I had this conversation with Shakes on his show. There's just really nobody out there that really, to me, you know, would constitute bringing them in, and it just would send the wrong message to the guys that are already here. I happen to be one of the few who has faith in Paysinger and being in the backup role for a short amount of time, number one. But, you know, all the linebackers that have mentioned, you know, from the Vilma, Henderson, like you said, there's a caveat by their name. And my biggest hope is the hope that Beeson and McClain get back healthy at this point. If there was somebody substantial out there, then I'd be all for trying to, you know, have another insurance plan at the linebacker position. But the main reason I call, guys, is I cannot agree with Frank Moore and about his analysis on how Eli fits into this offense. I did see him throwing the ball a couple of times, and to me, it just did not look natural at all. He doesn't have the delivery, I think, to really even deliver the ball with the velocity that needs to be in the short distance. I don't know if this is, you know, it just makes him look like he has a long release. All his short passes were short. They were at people's feet, and that concerns me. He didn't look very enthusiastic to do it. Like I said, looked more like a jog out, so I'm really concerned about that. I don't know what changes, you know, McAdoo is going to make along the way, but, you know, just the way it looks right now, it doesn't seem to fit Eli's skill set at all, and it almost makes me wish we still had Gilbride, which is saying a lot. So, guys, I appreciate if you could talk on that. The other thing I agree with you guys is I love everything that's coming out of Rashad Jennings' mouth. I love the way he carries himself, and I'm really excited to see what this guy brings to the table. So that's all I had, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'll listen to your comments off the air. Thanks, guys.
All right, Steve, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much.
Lance, it's still early. I mean, come on. This is the, what, second, third, what, third day of practice today. I mean, this is a new system. I understand the concerns, and they're legitimate concerns because I have them as well. But let's give Eli a chance. You know, I mean, he's not chopped liver. He's one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. He's been playing this game since he was a pup. He's been watching his dad play this game since, you know, in the womb. So, you know, let's just give him an opportunity to digest this offense and see how he executes. I'm not writing Eli off already. I'm just sharing. Listen, I have the same concerns that I think a lot of our listeners and a lot of the fans do out there. But let's give him a chance. Let's see what happens.
And Steve's observations, Anita, is based on what he saw under Kevin Gilbride's system. Mechanics, things change with a new offensive system. Remember, there's also a new quarterback's coach. Let's not forget about that. It's not just the offensive coordinator changing. It is also a new voice in terms of tweaking his mechanics. So, you know, let's see what transpires over the course of training camp. One other final note that I wanted to throw out about the linebacker situation, and a number of you have thrown in your two cents, including Charlie in Maine. If a linebacker is out there right now on the free agent market, doesn't that also say something about that linebacker? If they have not been signed the entire duration of the offseason, they're on the market still for a reason. You know, good players, game changers, they're on rosters right now. Guys that are no longer on rosters or looking for jobs, there's a reason why they're looking for jobs. Now, injuries could play a role, such as a Jermichael Finley, for example, but there's only so many guys that you could point to injuries as a reason why they're not signed. There could be other factors. So you need to keep that in mind. You're not getting a savior at this point in the season. Appreciate all the phone calls and all the tweets. Any tweets that we didn't bring up or any topics that we didn't address, try to get back to you off the air. Big Blue Kickoff Live is with you each and every morning at 9:30 a.m. Eastern during the course of the week. We'll be back up and running tomorrow morning. For Anita Marks, I'm Lance Meadow. We'll speak to you tomorrow. Have a good one.